Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into the Oasis podcast. I'm pretty excited about what we're going to be talking about today. We're in a series about heaven. Heaven is a real place. And if you haven't heard the first two podcasts in this series, you want to go back and you want to listen. And you can go to our website at www.foursmiles.com, or you could go to iHeartRadio, iTunes, or Spotify, The Oasis with Eric Casto, and you can hear the first two podcasts on heaven. But I really believe that we're doing this because heaven, God's throne, that the Holy Spirit is increasing a revelation in the people of God that's causing us to look up. And all over the earth, especially I get to talk to people from all over the earth, Christians, and there is a cry in the hearts of God's people for the Lord to come back. They're looking at the world that we live in, the wickedness of the world that we live in, and they're beginning to let go of their desire for the earth, and they're beginning to look up to expect the Lord. And with that, there comes a greater revelation where heaven begins to step in there and saying, hey, listen, I want you to begin to live with a greater revelation, a greater understanding that heaven is a real place. So let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's just kind of get into the Word of God and see where we go with this. Heavenly Father, order our steps, order my words with your words. And Lord, my desire in Jesus' name is that my friends, that I would walk away from this time with a greater revelation, a sense of your presence, looking up, desiring the things that are above. And so, Father, we're asking that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's look at Psalms 48. And this is the Century Standard Version, the CSV, or the ESV. And the Bible says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's Psalms 48, verse 1. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, in the far north, the city of the great king. Now, the Message Bible says this, God majestic, praise abounds in our God city, his sacred mountain, breathtaking in its height, earth's joy. Zion Mountain looms in the north, city of the world king, God in his citadel, peaks impregnable. Oh, I mean, I like the Message because it really kind of takes things from a different angle, but really helps you understand God's throne, God's great city, it's in the north. That's why the earth has a north, a south, an east, and a west. There's different reasons, but one reason why is heaven is the throne, the earth is the footstool. The earth is always, the footstool is always south, and the throne is always north. And so that's why we understand in the Bible, only two locations, heaven and the earth. Heaven is the throne, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Earth is the footstool. And so here, the psalmist is getting a touch of some glory here, and he's just praising God and declaring how great God is and how high the great city of God is, and that it's in the north. It's not only so high up, I mean, in elevation, but it's in the north. And so, you know, as we get into this, let's begin to, wow, Lord, you know, the North Pole, the North Star, getting our attention to begin to look up. And it is interesting. I don't know if there's any other stars that stay fixed on the Earth's orbit like the North Star. You can always look up. You can always navigate by it because it's not really moving. So that's pretty amazing. Now, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3. And I don't think we can talk about heaven without going into this this wonderful passage, because it kind of sets the foundation for us here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And wow, this is a command. I mean, the Apostle Paul is getting touched here with some glory, and he's saying, hey, listen, identification. You've not only been made alive, but you've been risen with Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, you've been made to sit with him. And so John chapter 14, Jesus said, hey, in that day, you're going to know I'm in the Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. The mystery and the depth of the revelation of our location in God, in Christ Jesus. In fact, Colossians 3, verse 3, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so that's why Paul begins. He says, hey, listen, you need to begin to seek those things which are above. Now, John chapter 16, you're going to love this. John 16, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, in verse 14 and 15, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Jesus is really teaching and stressing a very important part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the lives of the church, and in technically our personal lives. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is dwelling on the inside of us. We are the body of Christ. And so Jesus is saying, hey, listen, everything the Father has, it's mine. The Holy Spirit is going to take from me, and he's going to make it known to you. That's why Paul is saying, hey, listen, seek those things that are above. Set your mind and your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, that's the real battle, isn't it? Because we live on this planet, and we have responsibilities on this planet, especially if you have kids or a dog. You really know, I've got responsibility. But we work a job, we pay bills, and there's a lot of things that we face down here. Sometimes we face problems, medical problems, relationship problems that demand our attention on the earth. But we're commanded to remember our location, our identification in Christ. I'm dead. It's Christ that lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we're commanded to keep going back and reminding ourselves in our faith to live in this place, a place of being in Christ. And so the point I'm trying to get to here is there are things in heaven that God has for us. And I'm going to say that to you real strong. The days that you're living in right now, as I lay this foundation, I want you to begin to stir up your faith and say, hey, wait a minute here. The Bible says there are things in heaven that belong to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants me to take hold of them. He wants to reveal them, and by his revealing, he wants me to take it by faith and take hold of it. Let me tell you, when you grab something from heaven, you can change the earth. And the smile track that we use all over the world, and they're in so many different languages right now. Well, I remember the process I had to go through in order for heaven to give me that tract. And it wasn't joyful. It was a lot of spiritual warfare and just being patient, one step at a time, and choosing not to quit. There was a real battle. But God had something from heaven he wanted to give Beth and me, and it was a smile tract. And it wasn't a diamond ring. It wasn't a Mercedes car. It was a smile tract. And we had to pay the price in order to stay in there, not quit, until this wonderful gift the Holy Spirit showed us was manifested in the natural. And now, all over the world, this smile tract, which came from heaven, is going out. And people tell me all the time, they say, oh, man, people read the smile tract. They love the smile tract. Oh, man, it goes out. And so, well, it was something that was given to us from heaven. It was a God idea. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He had a wonderful thought, move to England. And, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Just move to England and depend on me. And then something from heaven came down. And so God has something wonderful for you, but you've got to begin to set your affection on things above where Christ is seated. So even as we're taking time right now, just think, say, Lord, I'm going to listen. I'm going to receive this, and I want what you have for me. I want to take hold of all that you have for me this year. I believe there's something new that heaven is going to give me. And so I want to encourage you with that. Now, as we get into this, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, and let's begin here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train or his robe filled the temple. And so there's been a change of the political, economic, whatever situation over the nation, governance over the nation. And in this shift of man's government comes a revelation from heaven to the prophet and to the people of God. It's to stir them up to begin to what? Look up and to receive more from God. Now, in verse 2, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I want you to pause there. Let's go to, keep your finger there. Let's go to Revelation, because in the book of Revelation, we get a little more revelation concerning these creatures, these living creatures. And it says in chapter 4, Revelation 4, in verse 6, it says, before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, these are seraphim, and that's what we learn in Isaiah chapter 6. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, without, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts, those living creatures, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So in the book of Isaiah, when we see something happen here, that the book of Revelation gives us a little more insight. Isaiah says that when these seraphim are declaring the holiness of God and that the earth is full of the glory, he says, the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, I believe what happened is he's having a vision of heaven, and as these seraphim are right there at the throne of God declaring the holiness of God, right? And all of a sudden, he realizes the earth is being affected by it because his own house is full of smoke, holy smoke, and the door posts of his house are shaking. Now, that's a lot of power. And I want you to think about that. And you may think, well, I'm not feeling any shaking going on right now, and my doorposts seem to be fine. But let me just say this. Heaven is the throne, and this earth is not out of his reach. Continually at the throne of God, night and day, these creatures, these living creatures that are the closest to God. In fact, the Bible says God is love. John declared that. God is love. So here we have these angelic living creatures who have eyes everywhere, right? The Bible says that. They're the closest to God. They're the closest to love himself. And what comes out of them? Holy, holy, holy. What is the greatest characteristic of God's love? It's holy. Now, I want you to let that settle in here. We just talked about that God has something for you, something for me, that heaven wants to impart, wants to give you, to give us. But we've got to get our minds and our thoughts, our desires on things above, where Christ is, where the authority is, our location in him. But as we do this, it's important that we realize that God's love is holy, and the declaration of who he is shaking this planet. This planet and the evil that you see happening. I mean, you watch the news and you're like, oh, I hate it. But I'm going to tell you this. It's not out of the hand of God. And some of you are praying for your loved ones, right? You want them to know the Lord. You want them to be saved. I'm going to tell you, you keep praying and surrounding them in the love of God. That shaking of his holiness, I'm telling you, it's working. I'm seeing this, that there are things being shaken right now in your loved ones. They're being shaken. And they're going to drop off. They're going to fall off. And that love of God in his holiness, it's going to come, and there's going to be a shift and a change. I'm believing that. 2025. And so, praise God, we need to live with a greater revelation of heaven. Now, heaven has, there's different parts to it. I mean, when John was looking at the throne of God, he saw an emerald rainbow over the top. That's amazing. If you go up to the North Pole and see the aurora borealis, the primary color you're going to see in the northern lights is like an emerald. It's a green. But then when he saw the throne of God, he said the Lord, the light coming out of the Lord was like jasper and sardine and all the different colors that come out of those common stones. Well, of course, because, you know, look at people. We were made in his image. We came out of his love, out of his heart, sons and daughters. And of course, we're going to look different. A black man, a white man, a brown man, a red man. We're going to have different shades of how we look and our personalities because of the light and the glory and the love that comes out of the Father. Well, we're his kids. I know growing up, you know, people would say, hey, you look just like your father. Is that right? Well, what part of me looks like my father? Well, not your ears and not so much your chin, but your nose and your smile. And so, you know, there's different parts of us. And my brothers, they look like my mom and dad, too, but different in a different way. Well, that's the way it is with the Father God. We all are so different because of the light and the glory coming out of him. So he looks like a jasper and a sardine stone. But Ezekiel says when he saw the throne, the actual throne itself, it looked like a sapphire. So the throne, it looks like a sapphire. And then the sitting on the throne, the Lord, with all these colors of light, over the throne is this emerald rainbow. And then there's a cloud with thunders and lightnings and voices. And I mean, when you really sit down and think about it, voices, you know, Paul said there's words that are being spoken in heaven. You're not allowed to speak them on the earth. A man is not allowed to repeat those words. And so, whoo, that's amazing, the operation here. And then there's 24 elders. They're sitting there, and they're often on their faces before the throne of God. And, of course, I've been in services on the earth where the power of God is so strong, you're on your face. Or maybe sometimes you just fall down. The Bible says in Genesis 17, when the Lord came to him and said, I'm the Almighty, that Abraham fell down. He fell on his face. And that's power. Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, he fell on his face. And that's power. That's glory. So the throne of God is heaven is the throne. The earth is the footstool. And so, you know, we're looking at, you know, heaven. And then it talks about there's an altar. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, woe is me, verse 5, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell this people. Go and preach to the people. And let me just say this. I really believe probably the greatest result, hopefully, that will come out of these messages is a greater fervency to share Christ with a lost world. And, you know, we call it evangelism. And sometimes I don't like the word evangelism because I think it's been used in a way that people have a mindset. But sharing Christ is sharing the hope and the love of the relationship you have with Christ and sharing his word with people in hopes of changing their direction out of hell into heaven, right? Now, there is an altar. And the Bible says that there are coals in this altar and that there are tongs. So this seraphim didn't just reach his hand in, right? No, he had tongs. So there is an operation, a holy operation at the altar. And as we get into the next podcast, we're going to focus on the altar because that's important. We're redeemed because of the blood that was applied to the altar that speaks the word of mercy. So we need to take a look at the altar. There is an altar. And there are angels, and how did the seraphim interact here? But let's save that for the next podcast. We've said enough for now. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, We love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.